It's The Bottom Line on News Radio 610, KONA. From the Tri-Cities to Olivia to D.C., we break down.
Break it all down.
The stories of the day and the people making the news.
And that's The Bottom Line.
Time to get The Bottom Line. Presented by Summit Funding in Kennewick and Prosser. With your hosts, Rob Francis and Ed Dawson.
Now, the Supreme Court has agreed to weigh in on faithless electors.
And it's Friday. That means Rob and I will submit our Riders of the Donkey of Shame.
But first,
give us your bottom line. It's your voice, your show. Call the LegendsCasino.com hotline, 509-547-1610.
Welcome back to The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA, Friday afternoon, 547-1610, the number. Rob and Ed hanging with you. You can also get us via email, 610KONA.com. Bottom line page, your name, where you're listening, what you'd like to say, and on Twitter at BottomLine610. And happy to have us all, happy to be joining us on the line. We're happy to have on the line Senator Mike Patton from the 4th Legislative District. Senator Patton, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Senator Patton, I'm absolutely intrigued by the bill that you and Senators Holly and Brown have filed regarding a change to the Constitution and the election of Supreme Court justices. On the surface, at least from what I've read by the title of the bill, it seems like there's an idea to propose judicial districts much like legislative districts. However, the actual electors aspect of it, I'm very interested in finding out the thought process there. So please talk to us about the idea.
Well, right. We have in our state, we have the district court and the superior court, which are both trial courts. And then we have a court of appeals, which has three divisions. And that's an appellate court that you go to sometimes before you go to the state Supreme Court. So the thought on this was for the Supreme Court elections to have a little more geographical diversity rather than having almost all the justices elected from King County. And so what this would do is just say from Division 3, which is pretty much Eastern Washington, two of the nine would have to be from there. And then three would be, I think, from Division 1 and four from Division 2. I might have those mixed up. But basically it would be not completely equal, and they don't have to be completely equal, but it would be roughly equal on a population base per justice, and it would provide geographical diversity. And we have a number of very qualified justices that were considered, apparently, by Governor Inslee in this last appointment for former Chief Justice Mary Fairhurst. But he picked a brand new justice from Whatcom County, a Whatcom County Superior Court. I think one of the Court of Appeals judges based in the Tri-Cities was interviewed and considered a candidate, and definitely some judges from Spokane, but they didn't get picked. But under this, we'd be guaranteed of having two out of the nine from Eastern Washington, having a little geographical diversity on the court.
So if I'm following your thought process, Senator Patton, even when it came to a retirement, would that force the governor to appoint a justice out of that district instead of statewide to replace the retiring judge?
Well, that certainly is the idea in the spirit of it. So it would make a lot of sense.
Now, the elector aspect of it, because it would sound, of course, that it would still be a voting process, that people would have the ability to vote for a Supreme Court justice. But then where do the judicial electors come in? Would it be comprised similar to the way that electors are chosen at county conventions, or is electors more of a reference to the electoral base as a whole?
It's definitely a reference to all the voters, so it wouldn't be like the Electoral College or anything. It would be just they would all be elected. It's SJR 8215 is the number of it. The other thing is that they would run in the primary within that judicial district, but for the general election, it would be statewide. So it still would be living or from the different parts of the state, but all the voters in the state would have a chance to vote for him like they do now.
But they would run in a primary in that district, and then you would guaranteed to have someone come out of that district to go to the court.
Right, much like at least in Spokane and a lot of the counties around the state that have three county commissioners, the primaries are in one third of the counties, and then the general election is countywide.
We're talking with Senator Mike Padden from the 4th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Padden, I'm curious, has there been a big call for a geographic districting for justices?
Well, there was a major call here on this last appointment by Governor Inslee to appoint somebody from Eastern Washington. Right now, the current Chief Justice, Deborah Stevens, is from Spokane, but she's the only one. Mary Fairhurst, who had to retire for health reasons, she had a lot of Spokane connections, but, you know, that didn't happen. So we have a West Side judge. She is from Whatcom County, way up by the Canadian border. Whether she would survive an election with, say, some prominent Seattle judge or attorney that had funds, I don't know, because the whole population base is there. So it's a concern. I guess we'll see what happens on that. And I don't think geography is the only thing. I mean, I think a philosophy, but the philosophy is going to have to be what the voters want. But I think there'd be a little better chance, not only for geographical diversity, but I think for some judicial philosophy diversity, just in general, folks from Eastern Washington are going to have a little different philosophy than Seattle. But there's no guarantees. You could have somebody from Eastern Washington that has the exact same judicial philosophy as Seattle and gets elected. But there's certain things that I think would really be beneficial, and they have knowledge of issues. For example, Justice Stevens wrote a dissenting opinion, which I thought was just fantastic, in the Hearst decision about water and wells, one that the legislature got fixed, but it took the Republicans to hold firm on the capital budget and not pass the capital budget until we got a solution to the Hearst so people could live on property and have wells. So she wrote the dissent. She understood it because she grew up outside of Spokane on a farm that had a well. So she had a personal knowledge, and I think that helped in her philosophy and her dissent on that decision.
Now, Senator Padden, you know, this is a well-intentioned, thought-out, rational piece of legislation. What do you think the likelihood of it is that it's going to make it through committee and actually become law and amend the Constitution?
Yeah. Well, probably, I don't mean to be flippant, but probably for exactly those reasons it's going to be difficult. The fact of the matter is that a lot of people like the current system, and a majority of the legislators in this state are, over 40% are probably from King County. So it's going to be difficult. When I chaired the Law and Justice Committee, we had a similar issue, and we were able to vote it out of committee. So I think it's going to be difficult. But there was certainly a lot of support. There were some editorials. I believe their paper down the Tri-Cities or Walla Walla, one of those two, editorialized for it. Spokane did. Jason Mercier with the Washington Policy Center wrote about it quite a bit. I think there's support, and I do believe there's some other states that elect their justices in that fashion.
Now, speaking of the aforementioned Mr. Mercier, Senator Padden, we just finished discussing with him a kind of head-spinning week one of the legislative session. What have your takeaways been thus far with 5 days under your belt?
Well, it's 5 days. Seems like 5 weeks. It's so busy. So many things. There hasn't been a lot of floor action. I think there was a ill-advised vote today passing a bill that allows for what Senator Erickson, Doug Erickson from the 42nd District, called illegal harbor legislation that will encourage undocumented folks or folks that came into our country illegally to settle in our state and get some benefits. But we'll see if that bill gets through over in the House. So far, we've been spending a lot of time, as we do early in the session, in committees and have had hearings on a number of bills. Usually we start out with bills that aren't too controversial, at least in the Law and Justice Committee. And those we had some hearings on. For example, I had a bill I'm sponsoring that would increase some compensation to parents of crime victims for the time they're away from work if they have to go to court or they have to go to counseling because of their child having been a victim and suffered as a result of a violent crime. So things like that. But we've been certainly very busy with the committees. It'll continue to pick up. There's kind of a rhythm to it, and it will go. But just February, it's a short session, so February 7th is a deadline for all bills to be out of the committee of origin. Now, there's an exception for budget bills. The other big thing we've been spending time on in transportation, I'm one of two Eastern Washington members of the Senate Transportation Committee, is the aftermath of not only 976 passing and the public saying they want to go back to the $30 tabs, which they have voted in, I think, three times, but also the governor's pause, which I think went way beyond what it needed to on pausing or stopping a number of projects, such as the North-South Corridor in Spokane and Highway 12 down in your folks' area. These are things I think could have continued. And in any event, hopefully, we will be able to come up with some solution to get these projects going again. And these delays do nothing but add to the cost of these projects.
We're talking with Senator Mike Patton from the 4th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line. Senator Patton, final question for you. There's a piece of legislation that was introduced in the House, a companion bill dropped in the Senate that you may have been alerted to, that unlike your bill, which seeks to amend the Constitution, apparently seems to do an end around on the Constitution, and it would infringe on the residents of the city of the state of Washington's ability to be involved in the initiative process and referendum process on odd numbered years. Where do you see this going, and how much of a fight do you see being put up in the legislature regarding its passing?
Well, I think there'd be a lot of fight. I certainly would be opposed to it. Well, I certainly don't agree with every initiative that comes down the pike. I think it's a right in this state of the people. We talk about we the people in our state constitution, and unlike some other states, we have the right for the people to address government, and if they can't get a bill passed through the legislative process, they have the right to take it to a vote of the people if they can meet the very stringent requirements. For example, on an initiative, you got to get 8% of the voters that voted in the previous general election. And to be safe right now, you need about 320,000 signatures. So it's quite a daunting task. But if they make that and get those votes, I think, yes, they should have a right to enact laws that way. You can argue about whether it's a great process or the legislative process is better. But it's I don't oppose limiting that right.
Senator Mike Patton, always appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for your service, and we look forward to talking to you again during this session.
You bet. Thanks very much.
Senator Mike Patton, 4th Legislative District in Spokane, joining us. I think it's a great bill. I think it's a great bill that Senators Patton, Holley, and Brown are proposing. I hope it does get some serious consideration and it comes to a vote.